the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
We have all been through some very challenging things in our lives, and I think it really helps when we can learn from each other. So I'm thrilled to have on the show the fantastic JJ Virgin. I adore her. She's been on my other show, It's Your Health, numerous times. I'm always excited when I know that I get to talk to JJ because she is so inspiring. And her latest book, Miracle Mindset, A Mother, Her Son, and Life's Hardest Lessons is fantastic. JJ, so excited to talk to you for the first time on Talk Healthy Today.
Yay. Thank you.
Yay. It's great to have you on. All right, JJ. So, you know, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I just being a mom and for all the parents out there and the caregivers, I can't even imagine how traumatic it was what you went through. If you can share a little bit with us, and then I really want to jump into how we can have that miracle mindset and what a difference it can make in our lives.
Yeah, it's like I don't want anyone actually when people go, I can't imagine, and I go, don't imagine it.
Yes.
You don't want to imagine it. It is a parent's worst nightmare. I always said that I could handle anything going on in business as long as my kids were okay. And then I proved that actually I could just handle anything after I went through this. And what happened was my son was the victim of a hit and run. He was out crossing the street and a car hit him going, they think, probably 40 miles an hour, though no one saw that part of it, and left him for dead literally in the street. And he was airlifted to the local hospital. When we got there, he had a torn aorta, which had to be repaired sometime in the next 24 hours, or it would rupture. It was going to rupture at any point in the next 24 hours. But the challenge was the way that it needed to be repaired was a very specialized surgery because he had multiple brain bleeds due to a major head injury, and so they couldn't do the surgery at this hospital. And the doctor said, you know, he's never going to survive another airlift, and even if he did, he probably wouldn't survive that surgery. And even if he were to survive both those things, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it. And you'll love this, Lisa. My 15-year-old son was standing next to us. This is my 16-year-old son now in a coma. 15-year-old son says, so like maybe a 0.2% chance he'd make it. And the doctor says, yeah, that sounds about right. And my younger son says, so we'll take those odds. He goes, I just knew that 0.2 wasn't zero.
Exactly.
So, and, as you can imagine, this was, it was surreal. It was like, as almost if I was watching a movie. I remember looking at my son going, he had bones sticking through his skin. He was covered in road rash. He was, on a ventilator with a tube coming out of his brain. I'm looking at him. I'm like, and I think your body does this to protect you. I was like, this couldn't be real. This couldn't be real.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely terrifying, but the way that we managed to get through it, that next day I remember staring at him after he got through this airlift and the surgery, and he's in a deep coma, and I'm holding his hand, and I said, Grant, you're going to be 110%, and I just had to go with that because it kept me, I had to have that level of hope to sustain me through this because it was that scary.
And how does one have that level of hope? I mean, I think your 15-year-old son is amazing because I think for a lot of people, they would just be listening to the doctor saying, well, he's not going to make it. And so many people think, well, doctors know everything and I should just give up. But like you didn't. And you hung on to that. And you said not even just 100%, but 110%. What gave you that strength, JJ?
You know, I didn't really, if you'd said to me, if you told me this situation, JJ, this is going to happen to your son. And while it's happening, you also have to launch your next book from the hospital because I'm the financial support of my family and, handle all this. I would have said, no way, I cannot possibly handle that. But I believe we are all stronger than we think. And so I looked back at it because people kept going, how did you do that? And what I started to notice was as I started to tell them the story, it was empowering them to be able to show up bigger in their lives. But I also know that success leaves clues. So I really started to look at, how was I able to do that? And not only me, I had so many people in my life who I admire, and I noticed that the common thread through all of our lives was that we'd gone through some stuff, and we'd handled it. And, I would ask you to think about the time in your life when things were going exactly your way, and it was easy, and you grew because of it. Because that never happens. never happens, right? And, every cool person I know out there has just been through crap and challenging times, and the differentiator between them and the other people is they took it on. They leaned into the fear. They stepped up. They built this mindset, and that mindset has very specific attributes. And once I figured that out, I figured out how I'd done it. How was I able to do this? I built that mindset in my late 20s, early 30s through the help of a business coach who actually was a mindset coach. And it became the way that I lived. I didn't even think about it. I was on autopilot in the hospital, but it was, you know, saying, asking that question, how do I get my son to be 110%? That was part of the mindset. You know, my son Bryce obviously had it because he's living with me, saying, I'll take those odds. Yeah. He knew he just had to have more than zero, you know. It's like you get what you focus on. And just putting this community together who could support us, people who, and I'd done that in my life for years. If someone couldn't see the possibility, was not a positive thinker, they're not people I spend time around. So I did the same thing in the hospital. And it started to be contagious, you know, contagious enthusiasm. First, people thought I was crazy, and 110% is crazy, but then they kind of got on board with it. And I basically told a couple of the doctors, I'm like, this is, because one of them, he had a crushed heel, and the doctor's saying, oh, we're just trying to get him to be able to even walk again. This is a game-changing injury. And I'm like, you know, I bet if Kobe Bryant were in this bed right here, you'd be saying something different to him, and that's what I want you to do here, because he's an athlete, and he'll be running again. And if you don't feel that way, then you're not the right doctor for the team. And they're like, whoa, you know? But it changed.
That is so awesome and such a good lesson. Yeah, because a lot of people, like I said, they'll just take what their doctor says. They won't challenge them. They won't say you're not a good fit. And I think all the things in the book, I mean, you talk about in these, you know, in the miracle mindset, you're being resilient. You have to, you know, be courageous, live in the present, be collaborative, and be able to forgive. And I thought what was so interesting is because forgiveness can be so tough, you kind of walk us through it and have an exercise. Talk to us about that, because I think that when you don't forgive, it's hurting yourself, right?
Yeah. You know, that was interesting. In the miracle mindset, I walk you through this process, and I've had people say to me, you know, well, but I can't forgive this person. They're dead. I go, this has got nothing to do with them. You're not going to call them and forgive them. It's got nothing to do with them. You're the one, if you're holding that grudge, if you're not forgiving someone, it's only hurting you. They don't even know. They probably don't even realize they hurt you half the time, you know? So forgiveness is a very active process that actually benefits you. In fact, there was this interesting research, this researcher Toussaint, who's like spent his whole life doing forgiveness research, and what he discovered was that, you know, people who go through high stress situations have poor mental health outcomes unless they forgive. In which case it erases the link between the high stress situation, the poor mental health outcome. And he actually had to put this to the test because his mother was murdered and he went through and did the forgiveness. I mean, 24 hours going through this forgiveness protocol. So the key thing in forgiveness is to empathize with the person you need to forgive. And when you do that, it shifts everything. You know, people kept saying, what about that woman? I still get asked that every week. What about that woman who hit your son? And I'm like, you know, I don't know if she actually hit my son. No one saw. What if he walked into the car? I mean, granted, she shouldn't have driven away, but I had moved into a total place of empathy for what that must have been like for her, and all of us forgave her. But what I didn't realize early on in the situation was I thought because I wasn't focusing on her, I'd forgiven her, and that's not how forgiveness works. You have to actually forgive someone and go through a process, and sometimes in certain situations, it may not be the first time you try to forgive them. It may take time, and, you know, you may not be quite ready yet, and it may take a couple attempts.
Well, I bet having that forgiveness for the person who did this to your son, it frees up a lot of energy, right? Because, I mean,
it's,
if you're going to be focusing all this anger.
Ever. Yeah, and that's, I mean, in the hospital, I knew that I had to, you know, do everything for my son to help him get to be 110%. Was there, I mean, along the way, there were times that he nearly died. I mean, there was plenty of things saying he's not going to be 110%. But I figured I was going to make sure I did everything in my power to help him get there. And whatever happened, happened. But I knew I'd done what I could do. But,
you know, another Oh, go ahead, JJ.
I was going to say, I certainly didn't have time to go focus over on this woman at that time and, like, where she was. People are like, are you going to find her? I'm like, no. What's that going to do?
That is a good point, and that's something I think we all need to take to heart. There's so many great things in the book. One of them is you talk about leaning in into what makes you uncomfortable. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yeah. So this business coach that I had in my late 20s, early 30s, who I thought was going to teach me business, who spent 6 months training me on mindset, talked a lot about your comfort zone. And I actually used it, this whole concept, to reframe fear, because I feel like we tend to think of, you know, first of all, we tend to think of being fearless, which is never going to happen. Like, I wake up every day and things scare me. And in fact, my big litmus test of me going out big enough in the world and really showing up is, does it scare me? If it doesn't scare me, I'm playing small. I'm staying in my comfort zone. And the cool thing is, every time you do something that scares you, you push outside your comfort zone, what happens is your comfort zone expands. Your resilience expands. What you can handle expands. We're at a point now, like, my 15-year-old son is now 19, and you really can't throw a lot at him that's going to freak him out at this point. You know, I mean, he had to walk up to my other son on a gurney with bones sticking out and was like, dude, you know, you look really ugly.
Oh,
you can do this. You can make it. He was there in the hospital helping him talk through it. So walk through it and work through it. And, you know, once you've gone through those types of things, you realize that that whole thing of don't sweat the small stuff, that really almost everything in life is small stuff.
That is true.
And then when you do get the big stuff, right, you can, like, you want to be ready when these things happen. And I know it's really hard. I come from the health world, so selling, being proactive is so difficult. But I was an autopilot during this time. If I had not had the strategies put in place that I teach in the Miracle Mindset book, I never would have been able to pull it off. And, you know, for most people, let's hope they never face something like this. But we all face stuff every day that we need to show up bigger for, that we need to bring our best self for. And unless you're actively training that, like you would take your body to the gym, your mindset's a muscle too. You've got to train it or it shrinks, and you shrink.
Yeah, and we don't want that to happen. So, you know, I mentioned some of the strategies. I mentioned about, you know, being courageous, living in the present. We talked about being able to forgive. Talk to us about, you know, being an action taker and what that means to you.
Being an action taker. Oh, this is so interesting, Lisa, because I'm doing this Miracle Mindset Academy to go along with the book.
Oh, awesome.
And so we're walking people through these actions, all these steps. And, of course, being an action taker is one of them. And here's what you see people do to avoid taking action. They go, oh, I'm not quite ready yet, right? I need to learn more. I need to get another degree. It's all that stuff that my old coach used to attach after it. You'd say, so I don't have to. It's when you look at, like, things have to be perfect, it's just a way to procrastinate getting into action. So what we teach people to do is take what I would call courageous, inspired, imperfect action. What does that mean? You're taking action and you're scared. That's a sign that you're playing big enough. You're taking action and it's because of your purpose pushing you forward. We call it mindset CPR, having the courage, the purpose to build resilience. And you're taking action even though you know you don't really know what all you're doing. You think, like, when I decided I'm going to help Grant to be 110%, I had no clue what that would mean or what it would look like. Nothing. I just knew that I was going to do it. And so I just course corrected as I went, just like an airplane pilot.
Wow. That is so cool. And I think this is something we need to teach our kids. I mean, with my daughter, she has a lot of anxiety and I try to get her to try something new and she gets really nervous. And I say, it's so important and you're going to have more confidence and you have to approach it in a way that you give yourself a chance. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Because I think a lot of people get hung up on that. And if you wait to be perfect, then you're never going to do anything. I mean, we also just go hide under a rock.
I've never done one perfect thing in my life ever.
Yeah, me neither.
One of the things I had to do early on to help Grant learn how to write and draw was he was so obsessed with being perfect that in coloring in the lines that I paid him to color outside the lines.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. He was one of those kids that was like obsessed, young capitalist, obsessed with money. So I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, literally paid him to color outside the lines. I paid him to make mistakes. And I think one of the best things we can do for our kids is to challenge them, expect more out of them, and teach them that failure is a big, like, the biggest part of success is knowing that you've got to be willing to fail all along the way. And that's where you're going to learn. And then you won't be afraid to try things.
Yeah, you know, because I think that's what happens with her is that anxiety takes over. And again, we need to emphasize that. And the steps that you have in the book, I mean, we all need to be doing these things. We all need to be more courageous and living in the present. What are some tips for that? I mean, you hear a lot about mindfulness. What are some other things that you like to tell people?
So here's the easy stuff. And that's what I did was just build little tips in there that would make it simple to do. Because we can't think our way out of things. You know, you can tell someone, oh, you know, you shouldn't be scared. You need to be more courageous. And just instead, you really actually just need to have them do something, like get moving. So I found with being more present, because it was a huge issue for me, and nothing gets you more present than when you are standing in a hospital watching your son trying to find any indicator that he is in there and can hear you and is going to make it, right? You become super present. And so one of the things that I did every single day as I was walking out of the hospital, like I'd get there between 5 and 6 in the morning. I'd leave at night, usually around 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I would go, all right, what went well today? What were the little wins? I call them the little miracles of today. Because I could always find some, and I had to find those because otherwise I was going to just sink into depression, right? So I'd go, he squeezed my finger. He stared at me. You know, whatever they were. And here's the thing. Every morning I would get up, and I call this my jam. Every morning I'd get up and I'd write down 3 things I was grateful for every single morning. I do it every single day. I always have. And that was already in place prior to this happening, thank God, because that would have been hard to add in at the time. Every night I think about the little miracles, like what good happened today. You can always find something. And then if during the day you need a state shift, stuff's just going crazy, blowing up, and you're kind of losing it, grab your phone and text someone and tell them what you appreciate about them. And you'll be amazed how quickly that'll shift your state, getting out of your own headspace and going after to send some love to someone else.
That is such a good idea. You know, JJ, one of the things, too, that I love is, you know, the book is called Miracle Mindset. And yet, to me, I think when people think of miracles, they think of these things that just happen and you don't do anything to make them happen. You don't have to work. You don't have to change your behavior. You don't have to look at yourself. And what's so cool about your book is that, yeah, you can have miracles, but you're going to have to do some work and you're going to have to look at yourself and you're going to have to learn these strategies. So I thought that was an interesting dichotomy.
I think that it's, you know, and I had to, like, walk around all of that going, am I saying that you're making miracles? What I really believe is that we get what we expect and that we can expect miracles. Uh-huh. And when you actively set up your environment, they will happen. But, you know, if you expect things to be difficult and challenging and hard and that you want a success, guess what? You know, I'm just going to expect that Grant's going to be 110%, that people are going to go out of their way to help him, that all this, and it just all started happening.
Oh, that's
but I think
awesome.
It's also
so there is some
how
of that
you
too.
See, you know, what you're
yes,
looking for.
Okay.
You get what you're looking for. You know, when you're going to buy a white car and everyone, everywhere you drive, then there's a white car.
Yeah. Or if you're thinking of having a baby, like you've never noticed so many
babies everywhere.
Taking over the world. JJ, you are so fantastic. I'm saying I wish we had more time. It goes so fast. This is a wonderful book. You are fantastic. I'm such a fan. And I'm thinking back because you had come on. This is when your first book came out, right?
All happened around then.
Okay, because you came on my show so many times during that time, and I had no idea what was going on, and you're incredible. So I'm so grateful that we've been able to share.
I'm probably doing interviews from the hospital, because I literally was doing
interviews
from the hospital.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, thank you, because you always make my show fantastic. JJ, tell us all the ways we can learn all about this wonderful book and all the other great work that you're up to.
Thank you. JJVirgin.com is where I do everything out of that website, and then I also have a Facebook page where I do a lot of Facebook Lives at JJ Virgin Official. That's probably the easiest place. And This book, I've been getting the best feedback of anything I've ever done in my life on this book, and it really does walk you through how to show up bigger in your life. And that's the biggest thing, Lisa, is like, you know, I hope nothing like this ever happens to anybody listening, but every day there are opportunities, and it all comes down to how you want to show up and wanting to bring your best self, and you can learn these things, and it's much easier than you realize.
No, you can't. I have to mention that my daughter and I start every single day with your JJ Virgin Paleo Chocolate Shake. I have to get that in there because it took me forever to find something, honestly, JJ, that I can get this kid to eat for breakfast. So I just want to thank you. It's really flipping delicious. Oh my gosh, I love it. And I take So Delicious coconut milk, vanilla, unsweetened beverage. I have no association with them. I do love their stuff. And it's really good. And she'll drink it. And there's no complaining. So I had to throw that in. People should check that out as well. You have such great products. It is good stuff. Well, you're excellent. And I'm so excited that you came on. I want to thank everybody for listening. Go check out all of JJ's fantastic stuff. Get this wonderful book and you can have a miracle mindset. Be sure to like us and rate us and review us on iTunes. Talk Healthy Today. Keep listening. Thanks again and stay well.